We push along now, and great to be joined by Mike Henderson, 117th District Representative. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, giving us a little of your time. How's your week been?
Been very good. Very interesting night. We were on the House floor till after 11 last night, so you know we're still continuing to work and trying to get a lot of things done, and hopefully we're getting some good things for the people of Missouri.
And when did you get up this morning?
Six, a little bit four, but that's okay.
Didn't have much sleep then. So what were you working on so late?
Basically, we are trying to clear our calendar, and we're going to work late, so probably after midnight tonight. We're trying to clear our calendar. Next week is a spring break. They always take a spring break up here before we come back and finish everything up. We're trying to clear all the bills on the calendar so that when we come back, we can start on budget, which will be very important. So, you know, it's just part of the process.
Those late nights are pretty common when it comes to the budget. Do you forecast that being the same this year?
You know, I think it will. I think the guy who runs that is Scott Fitzpatrick, and he's our budget chair, and he does just a great job. And I think I've heard a lot of, I am not on budget, but I'm my office is right next to two guys who are, and I feel pretty good about it. Actually, I think we're going to be okay.
Good deal. Well, I know that when basically, the governor has his recommendations, the House does its version, the Senate does its version. As you saw the governor's budget, were there some items that you felt like either you could maybe take funding away from, or items that you felt like funding should be added to?
Very much so, and I think they're going to do that. There's talk. I do not know if the Senate will do that, of actually fully funding the foundation formula for K-12 schools for 2 years in a row, which would be unprecedented. I've been here 30-something years doing education. I never remember it, so I think that would be unprecedented, and that was not something that was in the governor's budget.
Right.
And I think we're going to probably try to take care of some of that we were doing for the elderly with some of the funding that was affecting those for in-home health care. And so I think there's a few things that we're going to be able to do that's going to be – he was wanting to cut higher education further, which is really – I talked with Dr. Kurtz about, was really getting to the bone on those universities and was going to cause students trying to go there and tuition increases. And I think we're going to be able to maybe stave some of that off. So I think we're going to be able to do some things that will really help.
Okay, that's good for our area, certainly. Let's talk about some of the bills that you've worked – you've been busy. You've been a busy author, in fact, it sounds like, this year. Bill 1291, it's a special road and bridge tax. Fill us in a little bit about where that's at now.
Well, and it's really actually no tax. There is a special road and bridge tax, and this gives our county a little bit more – being a first-class county, it gives us the ability to have some – the county commissioners to have some flexibility in their use of it, where they can make be more efficient in its use. And it's actually through the House, and it's through the Senate committee, and it's on the Senate calendar right now. So hopefully they will take that up soon. Probably they will roll that, it not being a huge bill the way Senate does, they'll roll it into it and probably 8 or 10 other bills into one big one and hopefully get it passed out. But I feel very, very, very good about its chances of going ahead and being passed out of the Senate this year.
So it's not a tax that would make people and citizens pay more for something. It just allows flexibility in how the dollars are spent.
That is exactly right. This tax has been in forever. It's collected through the municipalities of each one in the county, and all this does is give our commissioners a little bit more flexibility. You know, we have so many municipalities where the front of the sign is one town, the back of the sign is another town. And as they're building roads where they don't have to say, we may have to stop building, we may have to stop doing something right here because we could spend more right. It gives them some flexibility in how they spend those monies for the purpose of being more efficient. That's the best way I can put it.
Your bill 2225 has to do with insurance billing. Describe that one to us.
Very, very, very proud of this one. And what it is we had an insurance company that was routinely denying emergency room visits if you weren't in network. They would just deny it. And so consequently, they've actually already said they won't do that anymore. They've come out with a national press release, but we're going to still try to get this to the end. The second part of it is they were paying the person who had the insurance directly instead of paying the provider, such as, say, BJC or Mercy. That may sound good, but you go to the emergency room and say you think you're having a heart attack, and they find out it's something else. you come out and the insurance company gives you a $10,000 check, which sounds really good. And then they say, we're done. Well, when time the bills come in after 2 or 3 months, they're $25,000. And they're saying, we're out of it. This bill would require that you as the insurer take and pay your out-of-network and your usual and customary charges. But the insurance company would have to pay the provider, such as BJC, directly and let the two big guys, BJC and the insurance company, fight it out if they have any qualms about the charges.
Really?
So you're only paying what you should be.
Really one of those common sense bills, isn't it?
It is, but yet you've got to keep an eye on them because they weren't doing it, and people were getting stuck, and this will prevent this. And they've actually said they will quit doing both things, but if we don't get it into law, it will probably happen again either with them or another company.
You know what's interesting to me sometimes is that government sometimes will take an action and have an intention, and then doesn't really work out that way, and it actually requires further legislation just to work the way it was originally supposed to work. And that, to me, that's what I see in Bill number 2603 that has to do with the ASARCO funds.
Yes, this is another one I'm very proud of. What we're doing was we're creating a third-party land trust. But basically what it is, in a nutshell, is this would give the municipalities in our area and landowners who are wanting to do bank restoration and other projects. Like there's each Farmington has a project they're looking at. Park Hills has a project. I know Bonterra has a project they're looking at. And it would give them someone to help them get through the minutia of all the regulations that it takes to get to the ASARCO funds. And to remind everybody what those are funds that were put in the area as part of the settlement because of the lead contamination. And those are the same funds that one of our previous governors used, about 40% of them to buy parks that weren't even in our area, which is what was contaminated. So the funds are actually for the Big River water basin. Everybody knows Big River goes right through the heart of St. Francis County. So this bill would help them get through you have to get through U.S. Fish and Wildlife and DNR to get to the funds. And this would be a vehicle we think could be very successful in helping people access the $24.5 million that are left.
Mike, you have a bill that has to do with MIA flags. What specifically does that do?
It's a very simple bill. It was actually brought to me by a group of our veterans. You know, there's five VFW halls here in my district. Very active. These gentlemen do an unbelievable job, and I had a group of them come to me and ask me if I'd file it. It's real simple. On state property, if you have the proper poles, so you can fly the U.S., Missouri, and POW at the same time, and you have a POW flag or a local agency, a local VFW were to give you one, then you have to fly it. And a lot of, you know, if you've ever been to any of the ceremonies they have on POW Day, at POW MIA Day, and seen the feelings of some of these gentlemen, it's just a way of trying a small way of giving back again to some of the veterans and showing them the respect that we should give to them.
That's very good. So those are your bills, but you wanted to talk about a few other bills too that you're taking a particular interest in, and we're going to talk about the TANF program, SNAP cards, and that kind of has a little bit to do with public assistance to folks that need it.
It is, and no one wants to take public assistance away from those that need it. You know, that's why we have the Help the Hungry bake sale, and that's why we have the food pantries, and no one, everybody wants to help them. But one thing, these bills I thought was interesting that it does, it puts a little bit of accountability in. I hear from people in my district about, you know, why don't we hold some of these people accountable so we can help them move beyond the assistance into the place they need to be? And that's what these bills basically do. The one, House Bill 1433, basically it puts in there things you can't use TANF or SNAP benefits for. And to tell what these are, it's kind of like, think of food stamps and welfare in a way is what some of these are. And these families need it, but you can't use them on pornography, cigarettes, alcohol, which I think is common sense. And it even puts in there, if you continue to try to buy these things through deception, that you can lose your benefits. And I think, no one wants to take benefits away from a family, especially if they've got kids. But at the same time, we have to have some accountability, and I like that part in the bill. The chances of people doing it, you know, they're going to have to be pretty blatant with the way they handle it. But I don't think anybody thinks they should be using those benefits to access pornography, alcohol, and cigarettes.
Mike, we've heard a lot of different opinions throughout the last, I don't know, maybe month on kind of the situation with Governor Greitens, maybe how best to move forward with that in terms of investigating impeachment, whether the Republicans are going to be able to get things accomplished. There are a lot of different facets to that. What are maybe kind of some of your latest thoughts on what ought to be done and what is going to be able to be done?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that as far as us getting our work done, I think I addressed that actually earlier. We were here after 11. We'll be here after midnight, I'm sure, tonight. We're going to move forward, and we're going to move the budget forward, and we're going to move bills forward. We're going to do what we were sent here to do, and that is to do the work of the people here in the district. And so I don't really have any qualms about that. I've actually seen people maybe going the other way and saying, we're going to do more if we have to make sure that the work doesn't stop. So that part is not a concern to me at all. The second part, the governor, where I'm at on it is, we've got a committee that's investigating, and they've got subpoena power, and they're going to come back with a recommendation to us. And as far as the governor, in my opinion, if he threatened the lady or he disseminated the photo, then he should resign. But if he didn't, just like anybody else, I do think he has the right to fight it. I think we have to remember that, in the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty. So we have to find out. We can't just judge him in the court of public opinion.
Is that difficult to do, though, before a verdict is actually rendered?
Well, I think that's why we have formed a committee to get to a point where we feel like, beyond a doubt, either we need to proceed with impeachment proceedings or we don't. And I think that's why we formed our own committee for that purpose. And, sometimes I've learned through the years that the justice system and then investigative system sometimes can be a little bit different. And so I feel pretty comfortable with there's a guy by the name of Jay Barnes, who's an excellent attorney, heading that investigation up. We've got a former investigator for the Missouri State High School Highway Patrol and a number of other people on there, and I feel pretty good about that group investigating and bringing us back some information.
Mike, always appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you very much, Chad.
You're sure welcome. Mike Henderson joining us on the Legislative Report right here on Super Talk 800 KREI.